Don't tell me it's the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast. A Medicare podcast that stands head and shoulders above all other Medicare podcasts. When the clerk asks if he needs a bag, he says, "I'm already married." Medicare expert Doug Jones.
Well, hello, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Medicare for the Lazy Man podcast, the only podcast for lazy people that I'm aware of. Of course, I'm kind of lazy, so it may be that there are other podcasts designed especially for lazy people, but I'm not aware of them if they are. There are probably other podcast designs especially for people going through the Medicare entrance gates, but I listen to a few of them, but I can't recommend them. I'm sorry to say most of them are not very exciting, and which, you know, this one may not be. Most of them are not very funny, and there are people who say this one is not very funny. And there are other criteria that those Medicare podcasts do not fit. So I cannot recommend them, with the exception of one Paul Sheldon, who is the owner of Maximizing Medicare with Paul Sheldon. So if you want to look up that podcast, that's a 1 hour long podcast that's done once a week. And his audio quality is flawless because it's done at a radio station. He doesn't have to contend with the internet and Zoom and the things that make this podcast less than consistent when it comes to audio quality. The other thing is, you just heard the podcast episode introduction as recited by my Canadian cousin, my Canadian nephew, Drew McMillan, proud father of Nora McMillan and proud husband of Magda McMillan. So at some point, his 9-month government paid paternal leave is going to expire, and he's going to have to get back to work. I have sent him new introductions to record, and when the government stops paying him and he has to go back to work, then that's when we're probably going to see the new versions that I can send over to Randy. And then, of course, Randy will be incognito for a couple of days while he listens to all of them. He likes to yuck it up to Drew's excellent broadcasting skills. And somebody asked me one time who my favorite dial twister was. And I thought, well, that sounds kind of dirty. But then I said, could you rephrase that question? And the question came back, who is your favorite technical engineer? And I had to say, there is only one in the world for me, and that's Randy Carson. Hello, Randy.
Doug, thank you for that kind word. I really appreciate it. Again, I am waiting for the little infant headset to come for Nora, and I think it should be here today, and then we can ship that off to Drew, and we can start training as soon as possible.
That's fantastic. There's only one flaw that I can see in your plan, and that is that by the time it arrives in Canada, because of the Canadian mail service not being as dependable as one would like, Nora's probably going to have her fourth or maybe even her fifth birthday. So I hope you sized it properly to prepare for that.
Thanks for the headset, Uncle Doug. I really appreciate it for my graduation.
It fits perfectly on my nose. Oh, boy. Well, I'll tell you, the U.S. mail service is actually getting kind of crappy, too. I mailed a check from Cave Creek, Arizona, to St. Charles, Illinois, and I mailed it on March 29th. Actually, my lovely wife, Mary, mailed it. It arrived in St. Charles, Illinois, to the addressee on April 11th, I think it was, and I was... I thought back to myself, I used to drive it three times. I could drive back and forth three times in the amount of time that thing spent in the mail. It is incredible why they couldn't get it there faster.
You know what happened? You know what happens?
I don't know.
I'm telling you, this is it. You forgot that the default travel method from Arizona to St. Charles, Illinois is Pony Express.
Well, yeah, that's right. The Hash Knife Pony Express operates, I think, one day a year. And they might have waited for that thing to, you know, get those old farts up on their horses and get them out.
But, you know, I've lived out here a number of years. I lived out here 2 years, and my family was back in the Midwest. Mm-hmm. There seems to be some sort of a differential between going east with a letter and coming west.
Well, I've always told anybody who understands these things that the Cave Creek Post Office personnel are the laziest bunch of white people I've ever seen in my life. They just can't get with it. And when I go to St. Charles, Illinois, I see all kinds of people, and they're hard working. They're working hard and hardly working. But in Cave Creek, Arizona, it doesn't seem to be as important to get that mail distributed. They're very pleasant. I'll give them that.
The ones in Cave Creek?
Yeah. Yeah. They're very nice.
I went up there to try to buy a roll of stamps one time.
Uh-huh.
And there was a guy leaning on the end of the counter.
Mm-hmm.
He'd been there, I think, for probably 3 years because he was no longer alive and kicking.
Were there cobwebs attaching him to the counter?
He had his money in his hand waiting for a roll of stamps or something. Never happened.
Well, see, up north, that money would have been snatched away, and he would have been robbed blind in the throes of death. Hey, listen, I promised you something last time. First of all, I was going to say, in case you asked what was new in my life, I was going to tell you that I just spent almost 2 hours Zooming with my high school reunion committee.
And, oh, my gosh, that is so fun.
Yeah, it was a lot of fun, and everybody's looking pretty good, and they're all spry and everything else. We're trying to think of how to properly host the classmates that want to come back to St. Charles, Illinois for the reunion next September. And one of the guys said, well, you know, in this particular venue, there's enough space for everybody to social distance if that's still going to be a thing next September. We're talking about 6 months from now. And I had to interrupt. I had to pound on the desk, and I had to say, listen to me, at least probably close to half of the classmates are people that I actually want to get closer to, not farther away from. So we should not encourage any kind of social distancing, because that's just going to defeat the purpose, you know. And then I won't find anybody that wants to get closer to me from my old class. So we had to redirect their attention a little bit. But it was kind of fun to see everybody and talk about old times. And, you know, a meeting that got like one thing decided took about.
And what was that?
Almost 2 hours. Which of two different places to consider?
Oh, you know what I was going to say?
What's that?
I was going to say you decided to have another meeting.
No, what they decided to do was to, instead of deciding to decide right then, they decided to have one person send out emails to everybody so they could decide on paper rather than deciding in person.
That's perfect corporate America. Mm-hmm. Let's schedule a meeting to decide
when the meeting should be to decide on things. But you know, they make it fun to do that, even though it sounds stupid when I describe it. Hey, I was going to tell you something exciting last time. We ran out of time. The crickets got the jump on me. And so I wanted to share this exciting piece of news with you this time. You know how we always whine and complain? I ask people to go to Amazon.com to buy the 2021 version of my book. And we try to explain how we've changed the title so the 2021 doesn't appear in the exact title anymore. What you're searching for when you go to Amazon is Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. And if it has a red 2021 on the cover, that's the book you want. Well, we've got the paperback with the color removed from the illustrations, and that is priced at $8. And some people like to do the ebook, the Kindle version. That is priced at $3.80. But I told Randy, I got some news, some big, 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 big news about our audio book. Now, this is the audio book that in 2019, I recorded it in 2019, put it on sale on my birthday, or it sent it to sent it to Amazon for their audio review on my birthday in 2020. So that was January 27th of 2020. And 3 months later, April 22nd of 2020, that book went on sale. They didn't bother to tell us. We whined and complained about it for the better part of 3 months. And so this year I thought, well, we'll get the jump on it. And so I actually sent it to them in early January. Now, Randy was down for the count with the coronavirus, the Chinese flu, and so he wasn't able to contribute this. So I had to hire a guy to clean up the audio files for me. That was way expensive, but I sent it in, and the best information I have is that they received it and put it in the line of audiobooks to be to have their quality checked and then to be put on sale on January 20th. That's a whole week earlier than last year. And I thought, boy, that's going to get us right at the head of the line. And this book will be on sale before you know it. So I wrote in recently and I said, could you tell me what the holdup is? Is my book still in line? Is it going to be going on sale anytime soon? And I got a message back, a personalized message from Daniela. And the message says, hi there. This is Daniela from ACX. That's the branch of Amazon that does the audio books. She said, hope you and your family are well and safe. I didn't know she cared. I really did not know that Danielle cared one way or the other about my family. And then she went on to say, I want to let you know that I have reached out to our quality assurance team to find out more information regarding the delayed release of your title, Medicare for the Lazy Man, Simplest and Easiest Guide Ever. We will be in contact with you as soon as there are any updates. Thank you for your patience while we work as fast as we can. Take care. Sincerely, Daniela.
Okay. I'm telling you, Doug, ACX this year.
Yeah.
They're moving backwards.
They're certainly not moving forward. That's for damn sure.
How is your fam? I didn't know you knew Daniela.
Daniela has a close personal interest in our welfare, apparently. So, you know, God bless her. And I'm never going to hear from her again. I think it's just one person there that makes up new names, you know, or she has a chart. I use this one for this loser wrote me last month and with the same stupid question. So I'm just going to use a different name this month and he won't know who I am.
I think it's like the naming scheme they use for hurricanes. The next one will be an E, and yep. So it will be Ellen, I think.
Yep. And then if they get to the end of the alphabet, they have to start with double A. So that's that right. Would be Aardvark.
Aardvark.
Yeah, or Aaron, maybe.
Could be Aaron.
Yeah, and then I don't know what they're going to do for a double B.
By that time, they're hoping that we have forgotten them.
Well, I'll be like your guy at the post office. I'll be laying or sitting in my chair, having my heart having stopped beating years before, and, you know, spider webs hanging off of me to the floor. So anyway, that's the news on the audio book. It's coming, folks. It's coming.
Should I start looking for it tomorrow? I'm excited. I really am.
You can start looking for it tomorrow. I wouldn't bet on you having any news for another at least 2 weeks, which would give it the same length of times it had last year. 3 months was what they took last year. If they take 3 months this year, it's going to be the 20th of April at the very earliest. But then they have the Wuhan flu excuse, which is the universal excuse for, hey, you know, I don't have to do it at all if I don't feel like it. So
God forbid we had something time sensitive in there. Mm-hmm. So like next year, instead of calling it Medicare for the Lazy Man guide, you know, easiest guide ever.
Yeah. Yeah.
Say and don't put the 2021 on it. Just put whatever decade we're in.
Well, why don't we put a blank in there and let them write in what they want it to be?
Daniela could pencil it in when she sends them out.
That's right. She can sit there with a stack of books on her desk. And if it happens to be New Year's Eve while she's working, she can just change the year right when she's scribbling on the covers.
It's just like when you walk into a car dealership and you know that you got a hold of the new guy that's only been there about 2 weeks. He hands you a card with his name handwritten in with a pencil. Oh, I don't want to talk. Right. I don't want to talk to you. I want to talk to somebody that's got an actual card.
But if you're not dressed properly, if you don't conform to what their expectation is, then all the pros are going to be hiding under their desks, and the new guy's going to be the only one you get to talk to.
And I told you the story about that with one of the people I know.
Oh, yeah. And I told you the story about my father. He used to do yard work and then go into like the nearest Ford dealership in his ratty yard work clothes.
Yeah. Yeah. I'd like to have. Now, did your dad was where was he born and raised?
Well, he was born in Broken Bow, Oklahoma, but raised in Idabel. And the reason for that was Broken Bow had a hospital and Idabel did not.
So did your dad have any sort of an Oklahoma twang to him when he spoke?
Oh, God, I'm trying to recreate it now. Yes, he did. Yeah, boy. Yeah, boy.
So I can just hear your dad walking into the dealership with his yard work clothes on going, yeah, I'll take one of them and two of these trucks here.
Well, he would do that, but he would not have a chance to do it unless one of the salesmen came over and presented himself, you know, like, hello, may I help you? Most of them just ran and hid. Ah, here's another bum. You know, it looks like a loser. But then my father would say, well, I'm going to buy a brand new Country Squire. And then I need a car to drive to the train station in. And, you know, there've been a couple of times he'd buy two cars in one day. And all of a sudden we'd have a garage full of new hardware. If he could find a sales force that was respectful of people who didn't necessarily fit the mold of what they were thinking a customer. We've got a good friend, a husband's very successful. He's a guy close to my age. And he and his wife bought a new house in Arizona. But headed back to Illinois, and they had a couple hours to kill before having to be at the airport. And the wife is just a crack decision maker. She knows what she likes and she knows what she's going to get. So they went to a Thomasville furniture store, and all the experienced salespeople ran and hid. And they wound up with a woman. It was her first week on the job. And this particular day happened to be her birthday. And so she came up naively and, you know, to these people who are basically dressed to travel. And they were not trying to impress anybody. And we've got a house we got to furnish. Well, an hour and a half later, they had spent $35,000 going through the store. We'll take one of those. We'll take three of those. Give me one of those. Give me four of those. We don't like the other ones. Let's take the more expensive ones. And this woman couldn't write fast enough to keep track of what they were buying. It was just, and she thought every day, every week was going to be that successful.
Every week, like, oh my God, I should have been here last year.
Exactly. Think how rich I'd be if I, So these people did, you know, once again, send a lesson to experienced salespeople who are afraid to approach somebody that walks in that doesn't conform to what they think a good customer should look like.
And that was I have a similar story, and I'll tell the short version of it. You know that I used to work in a bank. Mm-hmm. Well, back in the day, before I got into the technology end of it, I was in the bill collecting end of it. So when you went into there, the new ones would come in and they teach them how to call up, you know, and say, hey, your payment's past due. So, you know, send it to my attention. Humpty, humpty, hump. You know, $35, whatever. And this guy, you know, bless his heart, he called like, you know, a machine all day long. And everybody says, yeah, I'll send it out right away. Yeah, I'll send it out right away. Oh, it's already in the mail. Yeah. Okay. So he came in the next morning waiting for a stack of mail, you know, like as tall as his head, you know, sitting on his desk to his attention. All there was is one envelope returned for insufficient address.
Wow. That's pretty careless, too. Can't even get the address right.
So that's a similar story. Yeah. And I love that because we all were standing around knowing, you know, what he was thinking versus what was going to happen.
Sure. Absolutely. Oh, boy. Well, listen, I don't know how close we are to the crickets cricketing, but I have been holding a valued piece of correspondence from one of our favorite listeners, Dominic Regina. And he wrote in a while back and said, hey, Doug, I know you covered this in one of your podcasts, but I don't recall which one. Oh, thanks. Hint, hint. It would be nice to have a podcast index of your episodes by subject matter. Perhaps Randy can do that in his spare time. And Dominic doesn't realize we're on 170. The one that you're listening to right now is 170. I don't see Randy going back to listen to all of them and creating an index. But if it happens, then I will let everybody know that that's exactly what's going to happen. I try to give a hint in the descriptive notes that I have that travel along with each episode. So if you read something that has something about Medicare Advantage plans in the descriptive notes, then you can be pretty certain that that should go in the category of discussing Medicare Advantage plans. I know that doesn't happen too often, but we do discuss Medicare Advantage plans every once in a while when we're not hooting and, you know, booing and making funny rude noises. So anyway, then he gets into the meat of his question. He says, once you retire, and once a person, let's say, retires and starts full Medicare coverage, parts A, B, and D, and supplement, and then let's say you decide to get a job that provides medical benefits, are you able to suspend Medicare coverage while covered under a qualified employer medical plan and then resume once you leave that job? Is this risky or complicated, etc.? Thanks in advance, Dominic. Okay, Dominic, I'm going to tell you, I have read this on several occasions to myself, and I still don't know what it means. But when you go to the government Medicare website, medicare.gov, and you ask to suspend Part B, I have never found anything that addresses the suspension of Medicare Part B. Don't worry about Part A, because from almost everybody, that's going to be free. So you don't have to worry about getting rid of Part A. The reason you would want to suspend Medicare Part B is because it costs you a few bucks every month, and you might not want to pay that extra premium. So you've got Medicare Part B, and you'd like it to go away for a while, so you don't have to pay $148.50 or whatever your premium is going to happen to be. So the body of the instructions that I see on Medicare.gov, it says, how do I terminate Medicare Part B, not how do I suspend it? I couldn't find anything on suspending it. So the body of the answer is you can voluntarily terminate your Medicare Part B. However, since this is a serious decision, you may need to have a personal interview. A Social Security representative will help you complete form CMS 1763. And, frankly, then it says to find out more about how to terminate Medicare Part B or to schedule a personal interview, contact the Social Security Administration. That's who administers Medicare. Contact the SSA at 800-772-1213, Monday through Friday from 8 a.m. to 7 p.m. And I have to assume that's Eastern time zone, because those people that live in the Eastern time zone have no respect for any other time zones. They say, hey, you know, just assume it's Eastern unless we tell you differently. Bunch of snots as far as I'm concerned. Anyway, so it is apparently the kind of thing that you have to terminate Medicare Part B, and then I would suppose apply for it again. I don't know if that's a complication or not, but if you then later left that new job, you might want to apply for Medicare Part B again, go through that whole process. I would venture to guess that it would be easier for you just to keep Part B and pay the premium every month while you're working at your new job. It might also behoove you not to join the employer's medical plan, because you're probably going to be asked to contribute, I would guess. And therefore, you'd have to compare the cost of the employer's plan against the cost of the Part B premium that you're trying to give up. And the other thing you might think about is the employer's plan an HMO or a PPO type of plan? Or is it like a Medicare plan, like a Medicare supplement that allows you to go to any doctor, any specialist, any hospital for treatment anytime, anywhere that you want to? many employer plans, in an effort to save money, are going to be based on a network of providers, and people are going to be severely penalized to go, you know, when they go out of that network to get treatment. So you might actually find that Medicare and a Medicare supplement and a prescription drug plan, that the cost of those three elements are going to be so reasonable and the coverage so much better when you're over 65, that you would not want to participate in the employer's plan. You may actually find it advantageous for you to stay on Medicare, decline participation in the employer plan, and then, seek the treatment that you need where you want to, enjoy all the freedoms that regular Medicare does provide for you. So, have I heard crickets yet, Randy, or not? Have I been yakking?
We, the crickets have visited and left.
Oh, boy. See, my whole plan was to cram two recorded episodes into like a one-episode bag.
Yeah, I don't know. Two episodes in a one-episode bag. But right. I've got one thought I wanted to share, since that was Dominic.
Please do.
That, you know what that reminds me of? If you were to upset the apple cart, trying to suspend your part B.
Right.
That reminds me of a woman. I don't remember her name, but I read a story about a woman, and I don't remember exactly how this happened, but she was declared dead.
Oh, really?
Much to her chagrin. Yes. since she wasn't.
Well, I bet she was happy it was inaccurate.
Yes, yes. And guess how many years it took her to convince the government she was actually that person and very much still alive, because obviously when she was declared dead, all the benefits stopped.
I'm guessing this is going to be a really, really long time.
Yeah.
A couple of years.
Yeah, it was over 2 years.
Oh, boy. Jeez. Well, I'm just not surprised at that. The one thing the government does well is go after our enemies and kill them where they stand. And they also build highways and bridges pretty well. Other than that, I don't see a lot of things that they do efficiently or correctly.
Well, have you ever seen Star Wars?
I knew it was a kid's movie, and so I would pretty much sneak a hip flask into the theater every time one of those movies came out and I was forced to go.
Well, there was a character, and I can't honestly remember which Star Wars episode it was, but there was this big, ugly blob-looking thing that was like a 1,000-pound worm.
Is it Jabba the Hutt or something?
Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And he was modeled after our government efficiencies.
Oh, I thought he was modeled after the governor of Illinois. I lovingly call him, who was the kid on the Adams?
Pugsley.
Family? Pugsley, yes. But you're saying that maybe Jabba the Hutt, I speculated that Jabba the Hutt might be a better example of his appearance.
Here is our honorable governor of Illinois, Pugsley.
Ugh, nothing honorable about that guy that I've ever been able to figure out. Anyway, I wanted to do a twofer with two of our favorite correspondents, Dominic Regina and Steve, whose last name shall remain unspoken. But I guess I'll just carry Steve's question over for our next episode.
Okay. And, okay.
We can fold it up for today, or do we land the plane?
Let's land the plane.
All righty.
Fold up our tent. However you want to look at it, we need to end this episode. Thank you, everyone, for joining us. As always, we appreciate your participation very much. And don't forget, take your mouse and run yourself over to Amazon.com, order up several of Doug's books. We'd like to sell you an audiobook, but hey, can't get there from here.
Ain't going to happen anytime soon.
So we'll keep working on it, or you can get an electronic version. Those are cool too. But anyway,
Daniela, the audiobook company says hello, though. She likes to know
everybody's helping. We'd really like you to know that Daniela is working feverishly, and next week it'll be Ellen.
Yeah. Right. And after that, Francesca.
Yes. And then there's Gina.
Oh, boy. Okay. Enough. let's go away before they really get tired of us.
Oh, dear. Well, thank you all for joining us. We appreciate it. Look forward to seeing you next time. But in the meantime, you have spent about 32 and a half minutes with Doug Jones, the anti-insurance insurance guy and new head pilot of MLM Air, because he sold the company to another guy. He just wants to fly. Doug has always wanted to fly. So thank you very much. I'll turn the final word over to Doug.
Final word is sayonara.